Good morning, everyone. If you could go back in time somehow and carry with you all of your perspective, wisdom, and experience, and have a conversation with your younger self, I wonder what lessons you would tell the young you. Maybe a better question is, I wonder if the young you would listen to the old you. What would happen if you listened? If you could go back in time and give yourself advice, what sort of changes would happen? What sort of difficulties would have been avoided? Of course, that's not possible to go back in time. If you've ever seen Back to the Future, you know this creates a space-time vortex, and this can't be done. You can't go back in time to talk to yourself, because then the future self wouldn't need to go back. It doesn't work out that way. We can't go back in time and give ourselves advice, as helpful as that might have been, but God, in His great wisdom and graciousness, has given us the next best thing. It's been God's plan to give us parents. And parents are like ourselves going back in time. If you are blessed to have both parents, you've got the full set of DNA that made you. And you've got somebody who cares about you, in fact, cares about you and loves you enough to make sacrifices for you. And who wants you to succeed just as much as you want to succeed. And who has been around long enough to see where the different paths of life lead. And somebody who feels that it's their obligation to talk to you about the decisions you should make. But again, the question is, would we listen to this kind of older version of ourselves? We're going to be in the book of Proverbs today. So if you have a Bible, I invite you to turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Again, this idea that parents come from the Lord and therefore they should be honored. Happy Mother's Day, by the way, to the mothers out there. Mothers should be honored because, they're the ones who gave us life. I was there to watch my wife deliver our three children. It doesn't seem like an easy task any way you go about it. And I was just there in the room watching. I'm talking about myself. It wasn't easy to be in that room. But there's a lot of work that goes into being a mother, so they are to be honored. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, we should give taxes to whom taxes are due, and we should give honor to whom honor is due. And mothers deserve honor. It is not a trivial Hallmark idea to honor mothers. But we should also listen to mothers because of the wisdom that they bring. And that's also a biblical idea. And as we go through Proverbs chapter 1, I'm sure you'll notice one of the verses talks about that. Proverbs chapter 1 divides into three sections. First, there is a bit of a preamble in verses 1 through 7. And then there's a bit of an overlap in verses 8 to 9, talking about the importance of wisdom. And then 10 through 19 talks about how wisdom will keep us from evil and the effect that that will bring. And then 20 through 33 is a personification of wisdom as a woman who is crying aloud, inviting people to come and listen to her. The book of Proverbs deserves a lot of attention and focus. And when I did youth group a while back, I was hoping Sean was here, but he's not here now. I don't see him. But what we would do, as I taught high schoolers, is we would have a unit on the Gospels or something like that, and then I would do a unit on the book of Proverbs, and then I would do a unit on Genesis or something like that, and then we'd have a unit on the Proverbs. And then we would talk about something else that was of interest to them, the end times, or we would talk about some hot topic, and then we would go back to the book of Proverbs. We just went back and back and back and back to this important book of the Bible. But for various reasons, it doesn't get preached on very often. It doesn't lend itself to expository preaching, but what we're going to do is talk about three themes that come about wisdom. We'll see these three themes in Proverbs chapter 1, and that is the first one is the importance of Proverbs, then the importance of wisdom, the source of wisdom, and then the result of wisdom. So keep your eye out for those themes as I read, starting in Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. Notice here that the purpose of listening to wisdom is not so that way you can get a good job or you can make it ahead in life, but it is how you can tell a really wise person is if they have been trained to know how to do what is right and just and fair. For giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. And let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the saying and riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us. We will share the loot. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths. For their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretched out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I won't answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. There are several elements in this chapter which discuss the importance of wisdom. In the first section, we find that everyone needs to acquire it. It's that important. In verse 4, we have the simple and the young need wisdom. But then in verse 5, we're told that the wise and discerning need wisdom. In fact, in verse 7, that if you really fear the Lord, you will get knowledge. But if you are a fool, you will despise it. Wisdom is so important, everyone needs to keep getting wisdom. The person who does not view himself or herself as a student seeking wisdom, it can never be because, well, you've ticked that one off the to-do list. It can only be, according to verse 7, because you are a fool. The one who stops asking, what is the right way to do this? What's the best way to go about this problem? What insight can I gain from others, from the Bible, or from those who have experienced this so far? The Bible says is a fool. Acquiring wisdom is something for young people, for old people, for the wise, and for the simple. And in fact, the next section says that those who neglect wisdom, and it presents a specific case for us, those who lie in wait to get some quick cash. On the one hand, you could think of somebody maybe who joins a gang or something like that and just robs someone and takes their money. This is only going to end up hurting themselves. But you could also apply it to people who are in get-rich-quick schemes where you take advantage of others. With a specific case, those who neglect the wise way are only setting a trap for their own selves. It will eventually catch up with those other people. And wisdom is so important in this last section because it's like a woman who's crying out and everyone needs to listen. And what happens when if a person fails to listen to the instruction of wisdom? If they stop at a point in their life and they think, well, I've got it figured out, I don't need any help here, eventually calamity will come. And it'll be too little too late. And wisdom here as a woman, not as a very nice woman, will only laugh at you when trouble comes. You should have taken my advice when you had the chance, but now the chance is gone. This isn't God's word being mean or cruel, it's being honest. This is the way it works. What would be mean or cruel is to not warn you that this is the way that it works. If you don't take advantage of the wise way and you pass on that opportunity, then there's only destruction to pay afterwards. Have you ever felt like you are just spinning your wheels? You give energy and attention to some project, and you're not making any progress. It's not that you haven't given it time. Whether this is a ministry thing, or it's a relationship, or it's like it's marriage or raising a child, or it's something in business, that you work and work and work, but you're not getting anywhere. A wise man will listen and gain understanding. Are we the sort of people who just get in the car and drive, and I'll figure out a way there once I'm on the road? I have to admit that I'm like that. I'll get in the car, I know it's east, I'll just start driving, and then half an hour in, I'll plug it in the GPS and figure out where I went wrong. But do we do that with our relationships? Or if we're having trouble, let's say, with the spouse or with a child or with ministry, we stop and say, well, I wonder how others have done it. I'm not the first person to have tried this. Let me read a book. Let me talk to a specialist. Let me interact with somebody who's done this for decades. Maybe I could learn something. And the person we think, well, I've tried my hardest to deal with this spouse or this troublesome person, and there's just no winning. I haven't read a book, I haven't seen a counselor, I haven't talked to a specialist, I haven't sought the wisdom of those who have gone on before me, but I know the situation is hopeless. The Bible says that sort of a person is a fool. To keep wasting your time like that. Plan out a map. Wisdom is important. This passage also describes for us wisdom's source. Now, verse 9 is the one that says that we should listen to our father's instruction and not forsake our mother's teaching. The book of Proverbs is written, most of it at least, is written by Solomon. Solomon was a pretty wise guy. And he has a lot of good things to share. He's kind of a special case. Parents, in general, have more wisdom than children because they've been there. But this is a general principle. The ultimate source of wisdom is God's Word. And I realize that as I look out in the audience, that there are some people who have had the blessings of really great parents and some people who have had maybe parents who have not been so wise. The commandment here is to not uncritically listen to your parents. Sometimes parents do get it wrong. And we have to check everything against the standard of God's Word. But because we are called to respect our parents and honor them, it means that we always at least give them a fair hearing. We don't just dismiss it out of hand. We respectfully listen and weigh out the options. But to just dismiss what they say, the Bible says that person is a fool. In fact, Proverbs is interesting because it is the book of parental wisdom. Most of it is written by Solomon, but if you flip to one of the few passages that's not written by Solomon, chapter 31, that's the famous, the excellent wife chapter. But chapter 31, verse 1, the sayings of King Lemuel, an inspired utterance his mother taught him. An inspired utterance. This is the danger if you start reading from a translation you didn't study from. Then you start to think, well, I wonder why they put it that way. And I only have 17 minutes and I can't look it up right now. But talk to me later about what's going on there. That'll be interesting. But this is something that King Lemuel's mother taught him. And he's passing it along for everyone else. However, if you look in chapter 2 of Proverbs, wisdom comes from our parents. Ultimately, wisdom comes from the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This isn't purely secular wisdom. We have to have our heart right with God. And in verse 1, my son, if you accept my words, chapter 2, and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. What we have here is a bit of the chicken and the egg conundrum. What comes first? Wisdom or right living? Well, God reserves wisdom for those who live right. And the effect of being wise is that you live right. So which one comes first? Well, it kind of goes around and around and around and around. We have to seek for it. And so there are these sources that have been made available to us, but we need to take advantage of them. It is our responsibility. It is your individual responsibility to get smart, to become wise, to seek out for the truth, to search for it like silver. Not to just assume that the way, whatever first idea comes into my mind must be the best way. We're not called to just shoot from the hip, play and just figure it out as we go. Search diligently for wisdom. This is an interesting thing to me as I've been working more and more at Emmaus. When it comes particularly to spiritual matters, if somebody wanted to become a lawyer or a dentist or a plumber, you wouldn't just watch a video on YouTube. You would say, well, I don't want to mess it up. I'd better go and figure out from somebody who knows how to do it and get it done right and get myself trained. But when it comes to some of life's most important issues, I'll just wing it. I'll figure it out as I go. How foolish. But if we search for wisdom, like verse 9 says, it will be a garland and a chain to us around our neck. It will affect our inner life. It will give us, again, prudent behavior. We will be righteous, just, and fair. It will affect our outer life. Right here, we tell, it will protect us. It will guard us. We will prosper. We will have every good thing. If you jump down to chapter 3, we have the famous 5 through 7 about the importance of trusting in the Lord. And the result is that He will make your paths straight. That's the idea of a straight path, is that it's an easy path. If you're looking to get from point A to point B, the fastest way is if it's a straight path. What you don't want is a bunch of detours. And that's the idea of this passage. Look, for example, in verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. It's important at this point that we remember that Proverbs is a book of general wisdom, general principles for how to live the right life, how to ride the bucking bronco of life without falling off, so that way we can prosper. In general, it's true that those who live according to God's rules will do well. They will prosper. They will be healthy. That's what this is saying. In fact, verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of your crops. And what will happen if you do that? Well, verse 10, then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. This is the starting point in wisdom literature. If you listen to that, God created life to work a certain way, and if we pursue wisdom and live according to her principles, things will go well for us. However, the book of Proverbs is only one book of wisdom literature in the Hebrew Bible. You know the other books of wisdom literature? Ecclesiastes. And the other big one is Job. And both Job and Ecclesiastes, their central theme is the frustration of when this doesn't work out. In general, it is true that those who live according to God's principles will do well in life. But in Ecclesiastes, Solomon is frustrated with the many exceptions that he finds. And Job is the greatest possible exception that you can think of. A person who is righteous, we're told that from the very beginning. He's righteous. So the fact that he's unrighteous, you can rule that out. That's not why these things are happening. He is righteous and he does what is pleasing to the Lord. But all of these bad things happen. And so he tries to figure it out, and his friends come along and try to figure it out, and they can't figure out why things are going badly for him. This is also the frustration of the preacher in Ecclesiastes. But even though there are exceptions, it would be wise, and this is found even in Ecclesiastes, that we should live according to wisdom's principles. It was important to listen to our parents, to listen to our mother, to pursue wisdom, because it will make life better for us. Think about some of the lessons that I have learned from my mother. It's hard for me to sit down. I can think of some things that my father has taught me, but the way my mother has taught me has been more subliminal. It's been more hidden. It's part of the air I breathe, and just the way I think. It's hard to even put your finger on it, because it was just there every single day, in and out, in and out. I asked Bonnie, my daughter, about what's one thing you've learned from your mom? And she looked up to the ceiling and thought for maybe 2 or 3 seconds. And she said very confidently, "How to be kind. How to be kind." Now, I would not have the same confidence as Bonnie that I've learned that lesson of how to be kind, but I'd say the same thing is true that I've learned from my mother. Kindness. And I haven't quite learned that lesson. I feel like I lose my temper more in a week than I can recall my mother ever doing in all of my childhood. But it's better for you if you're kind. But the greatest lesson that I've learned from my mother was a lesson that I learned in 1988. I remember it very well when I had heard a gospel message at Dearborn Chapel in the evening. And I came back and sat on the couch next to my mother Sunday evening in 1988, and I asked her about how I could be saved. And I remember praying I've thought about it so many times. I don't know if I'm remembering the event or remembering the event. But I do remember that had happened, that I prayed with my mother and she talked to me about the Lord Jesus and how I could be saved. And that kind of wisdom is different than the wisdom that Proverbs is talking about. Because the wisdom that Proverbs is talking about is general principle wisdom. Things that work more often than not, although the wisdom literature itself is clear to, it's careful to point out to us that sometimes there are exceptions. In fact, turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 11. There is another source of wisdom besides our parents' general life principles, which are more absolute. And I've got a lot to say about Matthew chapter 11, and 7 minutes to say it in. If you could only see my notes, you'd know that we're about halfway through the message, but I'll have to do some last-minute editing. Chapter 11, starting in verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Talking about revelation and wisdom and knowledge. And then listen carefully to these words. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Notice even in the context, if you could just glance up, how often the Lord Jesus is talking about wisdom and revelation, and that comes to a head here in 25 through 30. Does this invitation to come to the one who can reveal things remind you of anyone? This is probably a reference back to Lady Wisdom of the Proverbs. In fact, there's another piece of wisdom literature. It was well known in the first century, and still well known in a lot of Christian circles today, although it's not a part of our Bible. But it's in that same tradition in which the Proverbs are found, Sirach 51, and it reads like this: "Draw near to me." This is wisdom, just like Proverbs chapter 1. "Draw near to me, you who are uneducated, and lodge in the house of instruction. Why do you say you are lacking in these things, and why do you endure such great thirst? I opened my mouth and said, acquire wisdom for yourselves without money. Put your neck under her yoke, and let your souls receive instruction. It is to be found close by. See with your own eyes that I have labored but little, and found for myself much serenity. Hear but a little of my instruction, and through me you will acquire silver and gold." So the Lord Jesus here is probably referencing Sirach 51, but what I wanted to emphasize is that this is wisdom personified, but more than that. The Lord Jesus is wisdom itself. And just like wisdom cried aloud in the streets, so the Lord Jesus cries aloud in the streets. And in fact, that's the context here of this actual passage. You just glance up a little bit. He sent out his preachers, he sent out his apostles, and what are they to do? They're to go and to preach out loud in the streets and invite people to come. And he says, don't take any money with you. Don't take any extra pair of clothes, because the people need to listen. And if they won't listen, you shake off the dust from your sandals and you move on. Why? Because we have an urgent message. Because this is wisdom that people need to hear. And it's like we're drawing a line in the sand, and when the gospel is presented, you're either going to respond to it and listen to this wisdom or not. And if you say no, we've got too much time. We've got to move on to somebody else, because there are other people who need to hear. The message is that urgent. And that means it's that important to listen to this particular wisdom. This is the wisdom of the gospel. And here we are not dealing with principles, but we are dealing with promises. Because this is not wisdom personified, it is wisdom itself, it is a person. It is the Lord Jesus, who is promising to give us rest if we come to him and learn from him. It is an urgent message, that's how important it is. There can be ambassadors, but ultimately this wisdom comes from the Lord Jesus. And just like we had learned from Proverbs, wisdom had promised to pour out her spirit to give us length of days and a long life and peace. We had read it, we could read in 3:2 about length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Again, these are general principles, but the Bible is filled with the frustration of when this doesn't happen. I think of my friend and the person we've been praying for, of Dave Stiles, a very godly man who had devoted himself to the Lord's work and had given up on a lucrative career to serve full time at camp, and who invested himself into other people, trying to help along young people. According to the book of Proverbs, it seems like he should have lived a long life, a happy life with his family. But there are exceptions to wisdom's principles. But there are no exceptions to this promise of wisdom here. Because here, the Lord Jesus himself is wisdom personified. He is promising to the weary and to the burdened. Those who realize they don't have it. Wisdom is only good for those who know they need it. The Lord Jesus' wisdom is only good to those who realize that they need him. And if they realize they need him, if they will take that weary and lowly position and come to him, he will deal gently with them. He will not laugh at them and send them away. He invites them to come. It is still time. But the need is urgent. So respond while you can. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the wisdom that you have. It is revealed to us in the Word of God. We thank you for godly individuals, godly parents who have taught us your ways. And for those of us who do not have that blessing of godly parents, there are other sources. But ultimately, it comes from you. You store up wisdom for the upright. How foolish it is to just keep going along, spinning our wheels. We pray, Lord, that we would listen to the urgent cry of Lady Wisdom, and that we would live, that we would pursue the right way to do things. And when it comes to the most important matters of life, how we will deal with our sin, we pray that we would listen to the urgent message of Wisdom incarnate, the Lord Jesus, the only one who can reveal the Father. You have kept the gospel from the wise and the noble, and you have revealed it to babes. We thank you that this is a promise that has no exceptions, that you always come through on your word, and that you do grant rest to everyone who comes to the Lord Jesus. We pray these things in his name. Amen.